Welcome aboard another week of winners. We're flying here on Get 'Em On Side. It's the Blue and Black Brigade here. They're starting to, when they're following the host's fashion advice, we've got some massive problems. But anyway, welcome aboard for round number two. We're only at round number two. Sean Ormerod, hello to you.
We're like a black eye, aren't we?
Yeah.
Black and blue.
Yep.
But not after the weekend's results, Dan.
Another, geez, I tell you. Huh? I love it when we tip winners, Joel, but I tell you what, the last thing this bloke needs is a shot of confidence.
Oh, I know, but what a great week it was. And what a great week when you look at the fixtures for round two of the National Rugby League. We're in for a cracker.
Now we're back to normal. I said last week, close to normality. Now we're back to normal. Eight games, Thursday, double on Friday, the full Super Saturday. Here we go. Let's get straight into where we did well, where we did not so well. Now, in an effort to be humble, or at least pretend to be, we're going to start with one of the wrongs, and there weren't many wrongs this weekend. But Joel put his name on the line for this one, but I think we all kind of agreed with his sentiments here. It was a bad start to round number one, week two.
Knights 13 plus.
Yeah.
Knights in a rout. They had the best defence in the second half of the comp of anyone.
Canberra 28 have opened their account with a big win over Newcastle 12.
Yeah, they were yuck. 13 plus, all right.
Eye-popping emoji. Haven't we found? We've said that's been a feature on the WhatsApp group ever since I replied to your bet. When you did say Knights and, well, you got one.
Knights and
Para. Because it was a double. Para, you got that certainly right. But the eye-popping emoji, it's here.
It's still up and about. It's coming for it.
When did you know, we're not winning this one 13 plus.
Very early.
Pretty early.
Yes, very early.
Wasn't it obvious?
And Canberra were just, they put the overalls on. They complete. That's how you win round one games. Newcastle had been looking at highlight reels from round 27. Mm. Bradman Best throws a yorker to Marzu, and they were all just like way ahead of themselves. Yeah. I knew within 15 minutes I was cooked.
Ponga no try. There's a few things that went against them.
I know, but that all aside,
yeah, I know.
They invited disappointment into their life.
Is it the most Ricky performance probably you've ever seen? And everyone saw the sign that was featured in the sheds. It's just backs the wall. The world hates us. We're big underdogs. The trick, though, Shug, can they get up when favourites?
Which as they soon are as week? They got beat, I said to myself, I want Cowboys to win. I want Cowboys to turn up back to home with a win under their belt, and I'm on the Knights who are going to turn up with the overalls
down.
On. Yes, doubling down and wrong sometimes.
Doubling down.
Yes, okay. Anyway, I was wrong.
All right. Best bets. We were two out of three. But we did get two.
My best bet, the Dragons. Again, this is probably less about trusting the Dragons to perform, but more about not being able to get around the Titans.
St George Illawarra, a thumping win over the Gold Coast Titans, 28 points to 4.
Dolphins Cowboys, way over 42. Way over 42 and a half.
Full time at Suncorp, North Queensland, 43, have defeated the Dolphins, 18.
There should be a rule, much like blackjack. If you hit blackjack, you get more. If you hit an over before halftime, Sean, I think there should be an extra reward because that was
meaningless field goal as well.
Yeah. Oh well, Chad Townsend is the prince of the meaningless field goal.
Can I just talk about Ellen De Givens? He has a choice there to take my very much wrong, which we did was the Knights.
Uh-oh.
Or I just saw a picture of Tyrell Sloan. In the season preview, we tipped you at 300-1.
He hasn't won yet.
But he's a clubhouse leader and he's into $36. Which, by the way, if I asked you at the start of the year, Dan, you can have Tyrell Sloan at 300-1 or you can have 36-1, but you're guaranteed he's got three in the bank. And he's the clubhouse leader.
Good question.
What would you take?
I'd take the 300-1.
Instead of the 36?
I know what you're saying, Joel.
I think he's still a bit.
So you think he's better value this week at 36-1 than he was at 300-1 a week ago?
Or at the very much equal. So I am going back to the well.
And boy, has he got a chance.
Yeah, Paul Casey led a lot of majors after round one. He didn't win many.
In fact,
he didn't win any.
I know.
So let's not kid,
watch him. He leaves before everyone else. We're in a pack. And he just seems to see something before everyone else. He's a big price.
I went
still.
The less greedy option, which was Sloan, top Dragons try scorer, at $9.
Yes.
I'm very comfortable with three in the bank so far.
Yes.
Did you have to whack Paul Casey there? Listens to the show.
He's got a
Watches the show.
the golfer. Mm. Oh, mate, the complete fraud. And has taken a lot of my money over the years.
It sounds top like fives, it. Yeah, it sounds tens. Like it.
No, wow. We could be bitter. And Flair. Whoa.
Oh, wowee.
We did well there too. Stephen Crichton, I like the odds, $3.35 to score a try any time.
They've got a chance to run it. Manda Hutchison goes to kick out. Kick out offloads. Now it's happened. That's what they wanted to see.
With a few points in the game, a little same game multi, Hylam Lukey into Jeremiah Nanai, both to score a try.
Ooh, ooh, wow.
$1.25.
Wow, fat.
Last play. They go short to Nanai, who reach out and score. Here they go, running it again. Taulagi. That's a nice little kick. The hammer. Oh, he put a boot to ball. Hylam Lukey says thank you very much.
Hot hand.
They don't draw pictures, Shug.
No, no.
They don't draw pictures.
The hammer.
It couldn't have set up any more perfectly.
The hammer's role in that bed getting up, eye-popping.
Doesn't matter.
Can I just say, a lesson for all, and I want you guys to sort of chime in here. Stephen Crichton, who you tipped, Sloan, who went around at $3 plus, Latrell and Turbo, who this week are close to $3. Those four guys, if you're ever, ever, no matter who they're playing, getting anywhere near $3,
yeah,
you've got to play it, don't you?
Well, that's why I didn't take Crichton because I thought Canterbury were going to be any good. That game went exactly as I thought.
Yep.
I just saw $3.35. I think it came in a touch and thought, hang on, that's Stephen Crichton.
Stephen Crichton.
Anyway, so well done, everyone. Hopefully you shared the love as well. All right, let's get to our main topic of the day. All right. Well, negative producers, negative co-hosts, you're all looking for the negative story. Who's, instead of celebrating the good, which people like myself like to do, you muckrakers are trying to find the negatives. Fair dinkum. Who is under the most pressure heading into round number two?
Take your pick. There's a few. Mm. Dally M judges. Casey Badger should be under some pressure.
Oh,
that was one of the worst calls I've ever seen.
Penalty try.
Marker, yes. In
it wasn't a certain try.
In what world, Sugar, is that a penalty try?
It was
a metre over the dead ball line.
Yeah.
The Bulldogs, I think the Bulldogs for me probably take the cake, though, as the most. I thought they were...
They weren't that bad.
I'm going into bat for them later on. Mm. But in terms of pressure, I felt they were already under pressure before round one. And purely just on the score line, the result itself just gets turned up a notch. I think they're under the pump probably the most for me.
Wow.
Mine's a bit different. I think the loser of the Broncos That's South side, that the loser of that team is really under the pump.
Brisbane plays Penrith in round three, so big chance of going 0-3. South play Roosters at the football stadium. Now, I know they've had a good record. Well, actually, it's pretty even over the years.
Have you seen...
I think there's something wrong. I've said this. I said this in the preview shows. It was obvious after Vegas. Something's not right there.
At where?
At South.
Can I say about the Broncos too? So I won particularly, had a little bit of mild success. And for a young person who it comes fast to, I spent that off-season probably getting far too ahead of myself. Come back, not so fit, not so quick. And you get brought back to reality in a real hurry. I don't want to name names, but there is at least a couple at the Broncos who I believe have fallen into that quick success trap, and they are nowhere near what they were when they finished the year last year.
Let's see.
I won't be commenting.
Reece Walsh.
I won't be commenting.
Is the first one.
Won't be commenting.
And Selwyn Cobbo. They're the two I'm guessing. I'm not saying it. He's saying.
No, I'm not saying anything.
I think it was stark what you were saying.
But the loser, and you mentioned the Broncos taking on Penrith. Have you seen the South draw?
Yeah. It's a shocker.
Up until their first two buys. You could literally say, okay, can you map out the worst possible draw? And they basically have that.
I will answer this slightly differently in that I agree with South are under most pressure, or Brisbane South. But it's who will the Sydney media go after? I think West Tigers, who haven't played a game yet and they don't play until... If they get lapped, already the focus is on Benji. We had a story as we record today about the fact he's not a 24/7 coach, and it was sort of written in a positive manner, but there were quotes in there that were anything but negative. I think Ben, it's certainly not going to be the Dragons. They're away from any negative headlines for a long time, though, now. I didn't think Canterbury were that bad against Parramatta. I thought they gutsed it. Tigers, for me.
Don't mind it. Well, I mean, they're always in the gun. If they serve up something poor. But just on your South fixture, we've got it here. So This is up until their first bye in round 7. Broncos this week, obviously, they've got the Roosters, as we said. Bulldogs, that's Good Friday game. I know Doggies generally get up for that. They've got the Warriors over here. I thought the Warriors were very good.
Maybe the best beaten side.
Yes.
Hang on, what? They choked. And I'll get to choking in New Zealand later.
I think that what they didn't do, they can fix pretty quickly, I think. Then they've got the Sharkies, probably no easy beats. Bye. And then you've had a freshen up. Storm, Panthers. That's up until round 9.
Yeah.
Not conceivable. What's that? 2-6 with a bye or something?
100%.
All right, let's get to some action. We start with South Sydney taking on the Brisbane Broncos at Suncorp Stadium. This is a cracker of a Thursday night game. Obviously, there, two of the Vegas teams have had a little freshen up. Brisbane, very, very warm favourites. I can't... When I saw the odds, I was actually surprised South were that much of a long shot. Then you look at the team. Whiten is still out. Graham, obviously, is out for a while. The bad news about Jai Arrow. So you've got an outside back situation. We're hearing reports Jacob Gagai won't play and Tane Milne will come in. I don't know if that's a 6 or 1, half a dozen, the other situation. Joel, of the four Vegas teams, I'm prepared to pay as little attention to the Broncos' performance as any of the four because I thought the size of the field, they were the one team that suffered because of the size of the field.
Okay, I agree with that.
And we look at some South Sydney vision here where, they scored, they as usual, and I say that going back last year, there were some tries and pretty soft ones that they conceded.
Mm. Yeah, this right side, we spoke about the fact that they're quite new to each other. And they scored a few here. Trbojevic got one. You just saw the try then. And, of course, Brooks get ones a little bit later on. But the thing that concerns me, boys, is the second half of last year, they were letting points in for fun. This is an abbreviated field, and they've let in 36 points on a mod football field, essentially.
Yep.
It's a problem.
They've conceded 26-plus in 10 of their last 14 games.
Yeah, 36-plus on that field.
Yeah.
They just look, for a team going into round 2, a word depleted is not what you want to hear, and they look like that. I know Campbell Graham had been ruled out for the majority of the year, if not all of it, early doors. Didn't play last week in Vegas, obviously, but back line looks very, very thin, and the forward pack as well. You've got Sean Kepi starting now, and I just think it worries me the Broncos returning back to a decked-out Suncorp.
Mm.
It worries me a little bit. I know it's a big line. I think you might be able to look at some alternatives to the Broncos and really get behind them here. They just look so undermanned. Kalama Tangi, you saw in that vision earlier, got ran over the top of by Olakau'atu very, very easily. Piakura, we didn't get to see him. We saw him for four minutes in Vegas. Essentially, his first game of the year. The two packs, I think the Broncos have got them well and truly covered. And if they can get some good ball, their back line will have a lot of fun out wide with the Bunnies.
I looked a bit, I've got the woo for this week, and I looked a little left field because the margin bets didn't really take me. I didn't think the value was there as much as I was hoping. So this market to score 4-plus combined, Arthurs and Cobbo, as well as Alex Johnston, 4 between them. Johnston, look, I think they can get over for 1 on his side. South Sydney's right side in this run of conceding a lot of points has been exposed a lot. I love the Cobbo-Walsh combination, and I think that might come into the fore now. We're back onto a proper field, and Arthur's being the left wing. So 4 tries there. You get $9. Cronulla-Canterbury is our 6 p.m. game on Friday. Must be weird for Queenslanders. 5 p.m. Yeah. Friday night football starts at 5 p.m. Anyway, as you'd expect, Sharks, very hot favourites. Similar line to the first game of the weekend. And I'm looking here at Canterbury. Connor Tracy in for Josh Adokar. Otherwise, it's the same side that lost to Parramatta. Last win at Shark Park, 2011. Cronulla, same 17 that beat the Warriors. That's no shock. They've won their last 5 against the Dogs by an average of 20. And this is their wheelhouse, Joel. Bottom 9. Let's agree Canterbury's probably a bottom 9 team this year. Last year against bottom 9 teams, they averaged 33 points. They
Correct.
Can pile them up against the bad teams.
81-30 collective score last year. They absolutely flogged them. And if I'm Cameron Serraldo and I'm back in the Shire and this game means so much to me, based on that team list, I'm very, very certain Bronson Sherry That'd be an ideal game to make your comeback where you're not named in the 17, so you don't get the hoo-ha throughout the week.
Well, especially former Cronulla player too.
Then you slide him in at the last minute.
And Kiro's onto the wing.
Kiro onto the wing, and then Connor Tracy to fullback, and unfortunately Blake Taff misses out. That's how I think. Ooh. Connor Tracy's also the former Sharks player. That's exactly what I would do to win the match. In saying that, I was very, very keen on the Sharkies, but I was thinking Hamlin Ewele would be back. I'll give you a question before we go to the footage. Which player in the competition the last 12 months, non-spine player, has the most try assists? Obviously, it relates to this game. Any guesses? Non-spine player, last 12 months, most try assists in the comp.
Who's on Mulatalo's side?
Well, you're pointing to him straight away.
Talakai. Yeah.
Talakai has the most try assists, more than any player in the competition. He's a handful, this kid. And you know what? He had some excuses last year, which I won't go into, but he is back firing and fit, and he looks an absolute proposition.
Yeah. You know what? I thought the Warriors let that one go. You two seem to be more impressed, Shauno. But Cronulla's resilience here, you know, we've given them the flat track bully tag. I'm not sure if the Warriors are the force everyone thinks they are, but that's a good win, down 12-0. I thought 30-40-0, but they came back. They really showed something.
Yeah, I think you play that game 10 times again, I think the Warriors win, you know, six or seven of them. Their attack when they were hard in attack, left a little bit to be desired, and I think had the time again.
Continue that thought.
More often than not. Fool's gold. Joel, in round one. I just want to look at the Doggies' first half against Parra last week. This is possession, 60-40 in the negative column. They completed 10 sets to Parramatta's 24. 96% Parramatta completed that. Doggies, 67%. They had 9 errors. Parramatta had 13 offloads to nil. They just didn't have the ball. One play the ball in the opposition, 20 rather, the Bulldogs. This is in the first half.
They were the worst last year for play the balls in the opposition 20.
Yes, I know. And your colleague, Gordy Tallis, said it better than anyone at halftime. Last year's Bulldogs would have been 30-0. They went in 14-0 down at halftime. And I think in the second half, the possession was still heavily in Parramatta's favour. There was a Cartwright second try, quite easily could have been a double movement call. And then there was an intercept for their last try.
James Salmon error, which they went up the other end of the field. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yep, that was.
And then also too, that there was a kick through for Morgan Harper, which he had inches to put the ball down. Yep. So I agree with you there, but I just think that inside the 20 stat and the lack of possession, some of it's self-inflicted.
They just need the ball. And the two tries they did score, Crichton, you were a beneficiary of him, Dan. When they got the ball in the Sharkies' half, they actually looked all right. They scored out wide, Blake Wilson, one of them, and then went left to Crichton as well. They just need the ball.
Yeah, but they don't have the props to get him there. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's the perennial problem.
That's why Hamlin Ewele out is a huge thing for them. I've had a little bow peep at your woo. Does that have anything to do with my proposed team shuffle?
Absolutely. Oh, because you certainly won't get those odds.
So this is the woo! This is the hashtag back Kiraz, drink Shiraz, boys. Jacob Kiraz here. I'm going first Bulldogs try scorer because I think you're getting a little bit more value.
So not first game try scorer, first try scorer of the match, try scorer.
First Bulldogs only. Okay. I think you're getting a bit of a better price here, but I'll probably have something first match as well. But he's named in the centres. You've got Connor Tracy there on a wing. Never played wing in his life, and also Sherry, which I think is probably what I would do. I'd just put him straight in the centre. So I think you're going to see Kiraz play wing, and I don't think that is priced accordingly.
No, and you're right. Even if Sherry doesn't come in, the amount of times last year that Kiraz was named in the centres and played on the wing, you're going to get that.
But even if
he's playing on the wing.
For some reason that he plays centres, well, you're just on at the price anyway.
Yeah, you're on the price.
So you got a lot of upside.
Yeah.
All right. Big game Friday night, 8 p.m. Penrith Parramatta. Won't be a spare seat at Bluebet Stadium. It's the kryptonite, Penrith. I was interested in Ivan Cleary's comments the other week. I think they were tongue-in-cheek the other day that we're still little brother to Parramatta.
Okay.
I think there's just some attempted mind games.
I did hear that was good.
In for Penrith, massive ins. Mitch Kenny, Scott Sorensen, Parramatta. Mike Acevo is still suspended. and at Penrith, the Panthers, 35-4 since 2020. 35-4, but two of those losses against Parramatta. Parramatta won both games last year. I'm going to start with you, Sean Ormerod. Does Penrith now just do what they did last year? Therefore, this is the week they win. This is where they just start to pick it up.
All the sort of numbers, you know, I'm a big ratings man week to week. All my numbers tend me to, or want me to back Penrith here. But I'm worried about how they, A, score points, and how Parramatta can score points really just against that, you know, solid defence of Penrith that we've seen the last few years. The one way they can break them down, they did it in their victory last year, the Parramatta Eels. We're seeing some vision here. This is their last victory last year, I believe.
Thumped them.
Round 25 or 26.
In fairness, Penrith, nothing to play for, and there are a couple of key players missing.
Yeah. But one, we saw on the weekend just gone how the Parramatta Eels, and I touched on it in the stats, against the Bulldogs, offload happy. And actually, did you hear Junior Barlow's statement during the pre-season? Someone posed a question to him, are you going to be offload happy this year? He said, nah, it's not really in our game plan. Well, they had 13 or 14 in the first half last week against the Bulldogs in the first half. We see a play here, if you are watching it, then they get about three or four away here in the one set. And a huge
From Junior.
And a huge beneficiary here is Gutho. Look how Gutho's just in the pocket of every ball carry here and gets a few. They made 30 metres there from what would be a 10 metre set. And
hey, sorry, Sean. Please tell me Junior had the most. The man who was coined for saying we're not going to be...
He's featured predominantly.
Cartwright had six.
But Mr. Cartwright had six himself. You're right, Dan. But I think we saw a few teams try and do it to the Panthers last year. Spread the ball early, move it around. Because they're so structured in defence. Yeah. If you just chaos, give them a bit of line and length, they'll defend it till they die. So chaos footy. Then we're going to see a bit of offloads again from Parramatta, even though that's not in their game plan.
Big chance of rain here, and same as Cronulla. And whenever there's a chance of rain somewhere in Sydney, probably going to happen in Cronulla, could happen at Penrith as well. Mitch Moses, he's playing, but there's got to be some question marks on his groin.
I reckon the Knights, Brad Arthur and Coach O'Brien, are the best at working out Panthers' on-goal defence. So what they do is, and I shared this last year, Dylan Edwards will plonk himself on the short side. So there's three on the short side. He'll make himself the third man, which sends another player in field, which means you've got more people where it's most likely to go. Parramatta and Newcastle are both very good at, if they see him on that short side, zip it. They'll express pass, and look for kicks that
to
are maybe...
the short side?
No. Well,
the other defender has to go to the short side
when he's made the move. So as soon as they see him coming across, then they'll kick short side. Otherwise, shift, knowing they can outpace him, and there's a kick in behind the line with no fullback at home, and the winger's got to come up at that stage. So I noticed the Knights and Parramatta are onto that. Keep an eye for that. But just on Parramatta.
And another edition of Coach's Corner coming up a little later. It's very good.
No. Parramatta, the last 5 years, their first encounter, so their very first encounter, not at the business end when Cleary's starting to click into gear, but their first encounter, Parramatta have won all but one, and the one they lost was a field goal. So they take on this derby, this local derby early in the season, far more strong.
If Penrith follow last year's path, 4-4 to start the season. I think the start for Parramatta is very juicy. Who's got the woo here?
Woo! I've got the woo, and I actually love this at the price. Alternative total match points, and you mentioned the weather, under 24.5, 465.
Love that, Sugar.
Wow. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Jeez. It screams of... That type of game. Yeah, anti-football. Anti-football.
Well, when you see a start this big in a total that's only 35 or 36, it just makes it so inviting.
Yeah.
To take the
plus. Yes. That's why, like, yes. I could easily, just on my ratings alone, I could make Panthers a little bit shorter than what they are, bigger number.
Yep.
But when the totals are squeezed in so much, points have got to come from somewhere.
So what my headspace is, Gutho, who's not a premium kicker, he'll miss a kick that Moses would have got. So we've got four tries we can give. We can give four tries away, factoring in a penalty goal, and we should still be okay.
I love him when you blokes can talk yourself into a crazy bet, but won't be crazy if it gets up. Yeah. Saturday afternoon, Canberra versus West's Tigers down in the capital. Sebastian Chris is in, Kotrick omitted, Hopewadi to the wing, so more traditional Canberra side. Still no Horsburgh and Whitehead, so don't forget that. Take that into consideration. 2023 against the Tigers, two wins, but both very close. So the Tigers really hung with them. In fact, one of those they dead set should have won. Tigers, they're the story here. Lachie Galvin, 18 years of age, partnering with Jaden Sullivan. Aiden Caesar shunted back to the bench. Solomon Fatape is in the centres, another youngster, as we look at vision of Canberra doing a great job against Newcastle last week. Ooh, this is a fascinating one. Canberra, warmish favourites.
Tough team. They're a tough team. Look, really, that there was nothing doing until things got a bit busy for Newcastle when they were desperate. There wasn't a heap doing for Canberra. That was off a kick. They scored the first try through Hoskins off a kick. They're a very tradesman-like team, so to speak. But my thing in here is that, and it's respect to these young kids, but you still need time in the saddle. The left-hand side for the West Tigers is going to be Lachie Galvin, Solomona Fatape and Junior Tupu. Well, that's a major ask for these kids. And I just think any player on the right-hand side, Tim McCaw, Hopewadi will move to that right-hand side. And who was the other player there? Zach Hoskins. You've got to be thinking about those for your tries.
And that will speak to my flair in a few moments. But come on, let's... You can feel the anti-Canberra energy just coming from this man, the aura. Go on. The floor is yours.
Absolutely should be favourites. However, it's a scary proposition for anyone wanting to look to back, you know, what are they, $1.40, $1.50 or thereabouts for the Raiders.
They should be $1.25.
And this is why it concerns me. As favourites, not great. And this was why the Dragons were my best bet last week. Less about them, more about the Titans' price. You just got to get with the value. Started favourites 11 times last year, the Raiders. Covered three of them. They're not good favourites. Last week, that was the perfect game for Ricky to get him fired up. The big challenge. Sunny Saturday afternoon at home in a game you're very much expected to win. Can they get up for him there? And where they are good is their pack. They toil at games. But I think that's probably the West Tigers strength as well. I think they can probably go toe-to-toe with them. There may be a little Jerome Bull or Flair might just get him over the line.
He's a gun. Quirky one for you. Benji Marshall, his 17-year career, lost once down there.
That is quick.
He lost once down there.
I see he's not number six, though.
No, I know. He won 19 of 22, and he won with all of South, Broncos, West Tigers and the Dragons. It's just a quirky one.
It is a quirky one.
It is a quirky one.
Anytime try scorer, same game multi for my woo, and Joel and I thinking along the same lines. Right side is where they can really profit the Raiders. Not only you brought up the players that are now defending the Tigers, but also last year, that's where they leaked their most points. Tim McCaw and Hopewadi. Little multi. I like the odds, $4.25. So I think we can have some love there. Now, as I turn my page...
Well, no, I've just seen the same
as
thing.
As I turn
What's
my
going
page...
On here?
Well, sometimes you just have to play the classics. WSFM up here in Sydney.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll play the same song over and over. And with that, Joel Kane.
Well, you know what? The classics are this, that each and every round one of the National Rugby League, people question, how did that person get Dally M points? Well, I'll ask you this. How many Dally M's, in fact, before I ask that, who's been the best player the last 4 years? Who has been the single best player in the competition the last four
years?
Well,
Nathan Cleary.
Nathan Cleary. Nathan Cleary has won exactly how many Dally M's in the last 4 years?
Yeah, okay, zero.
Zero, right? In the NFL, Manning won 5 MVPs, Rodgers got 4, Brady 3, Mahomes 2 and counting. Cleary has none, has absolutely none. We have had 4 Clive Churchill medalists from the losing team. What's Pepe Le Pewing? I just think, right, two things.
I don't understand the point you're making.
Okay, I'm making the point here. The best player doesn't win it enough. That's the first thing. Right. The most valuable player in the competition does not win it enough. We already have Triple M, 2GB, ABC, SEN, Fox, 9, all there. Just go to every box and say, as a collective, give us your 3-2-1, land on your 3-2-1, and here's the big one. Only give points to the winning team. So the question you asked the experts, which player had the most influence on the winning outcome? And I reckon if you start doing that, we'll far more have the best player in the competition winning the Dally M, the most prestigious award, than we won't.
So hang on.
Caelan Ponga had a great season last year. Was he the best player in the competition last year, Dan?
Well, he had 10 man of the match performances at the end of the year, so maybe he was.
But, yeah, but it also factors in who you're beating. And
so under your system,
I know
Dally M's doesn't include grand final, but Ezra Mam gets no points in your system last year.
It's irrelevant. No one cares for who got 2 and 1 point. People just care who was the most, had the greatest influence on the winning result, which was Nathan Cleary.
How about this? People that judge, open your eyes and don't give Hamiso Tabuai-Fido a point when he had one of the worst games of his career. But I'm just talking about general competence. How can you give the Hammer a point because he had one play where he scooped up the ball when the game was all over?
Okay,
and
Dan,
to a 70-metre try.
Your box full of, whether it's Fox or Triple M and all the other media outlets there, we wouldn't land on that, would we? If everyone put it in as collective, with all the collective minds inside those boxes, you would not land on those clangers.
I'm getting deja vu here.
Well, this is a rinse and repeat situation.
Boo to the deja. And if people want to have their say,
Joel, that's your one crack at Dally M's this year.
Okay.
That's it. Done.
What round can I talk about?
The boys. North Queensland versus Newcastle is our Saturday 5:30 game.
But remember, before we move to the next game.
I don't want to encourage this.
If you've got an idea or how we can overhaul the Dally M's, or if you've seen something a little bit quirky like Joel Stats, get him on site at sportsbet.com.au.
He's not interested in Dally M ideas, Sean. He's trying to get you to do his job for his What Were They Thinking segment. Yeah. Like Vossi, again. North Queensland versus Newcastle.
Where is that segment, by the way?
This is our 5:30 game. This is a good game, actually, and I share Joel's optimism for the Knights here. Cowboys are warmish favourites. The lines are very similar here right across the park, certainly so far. Quirky stat. Shouldn't seem quirky, but it is, as we watch the Cowboys run right against a horrible, horrible Dolphins. The home team in this contest has won 10 in a row. The away team has not won for something like eight or 9 years.
Wow.
I don't know, and they're usually pretty comfy wins. Tom Jenkins is in for Newcastle. Thank you. Some of us have him top try scorer at $8. They've never won on this ground, not Suncorp, the Newcastle Knights. But we're watching some sparkling North Queensland tries. Surely, Joel, North Queensland's up against much stronger opposition this week, albeit at home.
I think so. And I respect the Cowboys, but I totally disregard the form for round one for both sides. I don't rate the Dolphins. So what they did on a hot track. Now, this is the thing. Round 27 football they both played, which was the Cowboys and the Knights, but the Cowboys got to do it on perfect conditions. Knights tried to play the same game on a humid sort of night. Here's what happened. This is a forgive run. So racing parlance, this is a complete forgive run, the Newcastle Knights. The amount of errors they came up, they were all self-inflicted, by the way.
Yeah.
Look at this. Hastings just throwing it back. Rub a bit of dink rub in the eyes here. Ponga does the same thing. And much of this was like right at the start of the set. Bradman Best, here's a Yorker, try and catch this, Marzu. Mm. He had three people on him. Like, what is going on? The kickoff. Tyson Gamble, in this scenario, and this is why the fullback's got to be there, I keep saying it. Ben Hunt also dropped it there. Put the fullback there. Ponga, what's Pepe? And it just went on and on and on, and they were never, ever getting themselves in the game. Never, ever. He looks a talent. Kai Pearce-Paul, he's going to come into the side.
Reminds me of a young SBW, actually.
Does he now?
Yeah, he does.
Okay. So, a forgive run. Complete red pen through that. Yes. Don't even read into the form line.
Joel, is it possible, though? That is not very good. And they feasted on some bad teams.
No, they're okay. They're
better than last
year. Yeah, they're okay.
That is a distinct possibility. But always beware, it's one of the great things you can take advantage of in punting, the week-to-week overreaction, and even more so in round one, because people see one thing and they just go, you're out.
Yeah.
Having said that, I didn't like what I saw from the Dolphins last week. That was my big take out from one game, which leads me to think, well, maybe the Cowboys showing had a bit of fool's gold, but like fool's gold, Shug.
Yep.
I think the Knights are well in this.
Is Fool's Gold the 2024 version of
Bullish?
Bullish, yeah. I think we've got a new one. That's ding. All right.
And I found a little flare bet.
We're all on the Knights here at the line.
We're all on the Knights.
Okay.
And I found a little flare bet with a little Knights flavour. We're going down the Knights' left. We know they love that side of the field.
Yep.
And it's the Cowboys' right-hand side of the field. Now, last year, conceded 24 and 18 in that centre-right, right-hand channel defensively. Who am I looking at? The Chad. He missed three tackles last week. Zach Labert, as good as he was ball in hand, in fact, he looked very, very good defensively, missed three tackles as well. Kyle Felt on that edge, still winning his spot on that wing. He made four errors. And KPP, the new SBW, he's now starting, should play a lot of minutes. He looks very handy with an offload. I think they're going to be smashing that left-hand side of the field. Bradman Best, Gregory Marju, SGM for me.
Okay.
Woo! Right. Well, thank you. A bit more please for your flair, a bit more energy, a bit more pep. Great game Saturday night. New Zealand Warriors travelling to Melbourne against the Storm, not Anzac Day, so that tradition has been moved on, a great tradition as it was, with the Warriors hosting Anzac Day next year. Munster still out. There's something a bit weird about this. Slipped in the shower.
My mail is he's, which you don't slip in the shower for this, I don't believe, but he's got osteopubis.
Yes.
Which
Osteitis pubis.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not a doctor, Shug, so I could be wrong.
So I think he might be out for some time.
Yeah. And also no Nelson. So they're there for the taking here. Warriors, pretty fat odds. And remember last year they played Anzac Day, and I wouldn't say the Warriors were robbed, but boy, it really started, it was at the start of their run, and they got a few things go against them. It was very close. I'm looking here, pretty similar team to the side that probably should have beaten Cronulla. Still no Niokorte and Nicol Klukstar.
Mm.
Good game this, Sean. Again, there's an old-fashioned, there's a stat here. 14 in a row, Melbourne have beaten New Zealand Warriors.
Wow.
And most have been blowouts.
We know the Warriors generally get a good crowd there in Melbourne as well. There's a big expat community, so they'll probably have even share of the crowd, you would think. This is an eye test, bit of a stat, but the Warriors forwards in that, particularly the first half against the Sharkies last week, they play so fast, direct, some of the just a real quick sense of how they play footy. And the issue with the Storm still, no Nelson, is in their pack. I think the Warriors can get a bit of a roll on, which they did last week. They just couldn't quite convert it to points, which we know round one attacks aren't always in sync. Warriors are a great bet here for me.
Yeah, I can't disagree. Nikore and Chans are big outs.
Yeah.
But Nelson and Munster equally. Your eye test I can support with numbers. So the Warriors had the number one run metres in the comp and Melbourne Storm were nowhere near that. So they do struggle, the Storm, with those big power packs, right?
Mm.
They struggle with that. We know that. And I think the Warriors equally are, they're going to have field position.
Yeah.
They're going to have field position.
Tell you the one thing that struck me at the end of that game was SJ kept on trying to get repeat sets, force a dropout. I think if they ran the footy on those couple of occasions, I think they're scoring. But we've got some vision here of the great Pappy. These are the short dropouts. Obviously, the new rule, big incentive to go short. And I think last year, I think they were one of the best at getting the ball back last year, even though Pat wasn't playing. But he is a fine exponent of the gaining repossession with the short dropouts. So I think if you are the Warriors, I like running it on the last as opposed to getting a little kick in because it's almost 50-50, if not your odds against, that you're going to actually get the ball back.
You know what I like there, boys, which no other team does, because they've practiced so hard for it. If you're, say, a right footer, it is more natural to do a dropout to your left and therefore teams can really accommodate it by putting those good jumpers there.
Yeah.
You see that third one? Mm. He put it the other way. It's a hard kick. It's like a bit of a slice, but I love how he did that.
Did you notice... Slight change of subject, the NRL changed the rule where you can do the kickoffs from halfway.
Yeah.
If you're short, the team doesn't get a penalty. They just get to play the ball. And it happened in the Gold Coast Dragons game. I bet you a lot of NRL people, not so much coaches but players, weren't aware that's a new rule. Because it does change. We only saw, from my recollection, only one. But there would have been other games. Very few short kickoffs from halfway. I bet that starts to increase as people realise, oh, hang on, it's not a penalty upfield and they'll get it.
It was a no-brainer before the penalty was.
Exactly.
The penalty was, it was a no-brainer.
But I think that's going to wake, what happened this week, the couple that we did see are going to wake people up to the fact that why aren't we just doing this rugby style every single
correct
kick? Anyway, Flair, please.
Joel Cain.
Oh, look, just further what we're saying. Woo! I really like this one. And this bloke, who I nearly had him in the first round, but I went for Jackson Ford, who was bees away from scoring. adding Fenua Blake.
Crazy.
This bloke is in a mood for scoring the last 12 months, broke his record last year, scores in round one. He's a handful. Mm. And now that he knows he can score, 675. Woo.
I love when players are in moods to
he's
score
in a mood.
Tries.
Well, I'll tell you when he is in a mood, when Wade Egan's on the field, because that's who he runs. That's Wade Egan.
Hopefully he plays.
Sorry. That's the caveat for me. That's a big watch out. Because it wasn't how the game changed when he went off the field last week.
Yeah.
He's a gun. If he was back here still, he'd be making a lot of noise.
Yeah, for a Blues jumper.
Under
amazing
the radar.
How many markers he makes look foolish just with his eyes. Manly versus Roosters. What a great game. This is Brookie, Sunday Arvo. Oh, yes. The stars are on show here. Manly just slight outsiders. That's how impressive the Roosters were. Saab is out and out for 6 weeks. Tommy Talau comes in. Dom Young and JWH in for the Roosters. So that's obviously a big improvement for them. As we look at some highlights, Joey Manu starred, well, certainly one of the stars, along with the likes of Brandon Smith and Victor Radley, in what was a pretty dominant win over Brisbane, 20-10, probably belied how the difference between the two sides. Two Vegas teams, I don't know. This is a great game. This is a great game, Sean.
Yeah. Now, Vegas was obviously a long time ago, but South, the takeaway for me was South aren't going great this year, and I'm a little bit wary of what that Manly victory might have told us, and they were behind for a lot of that game as well. Chooks' victory, on the other hand, they really stamped themselves on it. Weather watch in this game is a concern. That I think that definitely helps the Chooks. And the team that Manly have named it, particularly on their edges, Tommy Talau comes in, and they've got Jackson Paulo on the other wing, who didn't probably do himself many favours defensively over there in Vegas either. I think the Chooks can probably have a bit of fun. It's a tricky old line, though, at 2.5 with weather around. This will be a wait-and-see job for me until Sunday.
I'm counting the Roosters. I agree with all your sentiments there. I'm counting the Chooks. This bloke, though, Tommy Turbo, if he catches fire, they can win anything. We had him last week, and he was that close. He was, Damien Cook, where are you? Get back on the beach and sprint there. Why sprint after our man Tommy Turbo? He's going to score in Vegas. Yeah. And you stopped him. And what about the numbers for Tommy Turbo? Like, this bloke's that good. He, in the last 21 victories for Manly, this being the 21st, with him playing, he has scored 35 tries.
Ooh-wee.
That's a big number.
Yeah.
And he should have 36 from 21. He is just a jet. And as I said, with Sloan, with Crichton, with Latrell Mitchell, if you get anywhere near $3, I think he's about $2.95 or $2.90, it's a play, isn't it? Is it?
Yes, yes, it is.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, I'm with you.
But you get to have your own say.
I'm with you.
Firstly, is he in a mood for scoring tries?
Oh, that's he's in a mood. He's in a Brookvale mood.
Manly have shown a weakness there, left edge defensively. And again, even against South, they conceded a couple. So my woo is Siwa Wong, who is now a right edge player, at $5.80 anytime try scorer. Now, the obvious play is Joey Manu, but you're just not going to get the odds on Joey Manu. So I'm going to go Siwa Wong just hitting a hard line. He runs hard lines. Three tries in 11 games, so too early in his career to work out if he's a try-scoring second row, but I like those odds.
Yeah, might be.
Okay, Dolphins versus Dragons. Golden Point contender, according to yours truly. This is the last game of the weekend. KO Stadium, again, weather is going to be a factor. One of my favourite stats of the weekend. Three games at KO Stadium last year, all under 38.5. Take that into account.
And a magnificent segue, because people are driving on in the cars listening to the old-fashioned podcast, to Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We are on KO. We're on KO and YouTube. So feel free to, sometimes we're referring to videos or graphics and you can't see them clearly because you listen to the audio. If you wish, download us on our dedicated YouTube channel, which is Get Them Onside, or search us on KO.
And the old-fashioned ask, can you give us 5 stars? See, we don't manipulate like other podcasts and put 25 podcasts in the same feed.
Oh,
that was
yes.
a bummer for your other company, Joel, when Apple stopped allowing that. But anyway, Kartoa, the number 7 for the Dolphins. So O'Sullivan has been omitted. Jake Avarillo is in. Ewan Aiken is in. Jared Wallace is in. So Wayne Bennett did not like what he saw, and with good reason. St George Illawarra Leilua comes in for them and Blake Laurie, who I'm told could have played on the Gold Coast. I cannot believe they were outsiders against that Gold Coast side once it was obvious Foran wasn't playing. But anyway, that was last week. It's a good game. And you have to have a bit of faith in the Dolphins, Sean.
You do.
If you think they can turn this around.
You do. I like the changes they've made, though. Avrilo, which I thought, I think most of the footy world was pretty shocked when he didn't get the, didn't win that centre position in round one. TCU, they had a lot of issues down that side of the field. Almost looked a tactic. They had the winger and TCU very, very, back very, very deep. For a lot of those players, just invited the Cowboys up that edge. So I don't think we'll be seeing that again. The Dragons were a much nicer price only a couple of days ago. Sugar, they were about 220 or 225, I reckon, which definitely would have got around them at that price. But now they're nudging favourites, might have just put their neck in front. I don't love them as a proposition when they're that short. But I will be tipping them just to win the game.
Yeah, I'm tipping them just 13 plus in case they get on a roll on. Tyrrell Sloan's my tip, $36, but you'll have to do it before the round starts.
Yep.
For the top try scorer, he's got three in the bank, clubhouse leader, as I mentioned. But what I failed to mention was this list here, which my man Gibbo's given me.
That's not your handwriting.
No, it's not my handwriting. But we've only had four, and I was talking about this earlier, we've had four Dalian medalists going to win the comp. Only four in the NRL era for 25
minutes. No, I can't. That 20 minutes
I know, but Gibbo spent half an hour doing this, so I need to give it credit. Well, Gibbo, thank you very much.
30 minutes on SEN talking about it.
I will. Thank you. I will.
Yes, you should. Will.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you don't have to be the best player to win the comp. You know, and Nathan Cleary, how many you decided that? Oh, no, well, let's go back now.
No, I'll let it go. How does it tie into this game?
Thanks. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
I felt guilt. No, I saw this bit of paper here, which isn't my handwriting. I thought Gibbo has gone to all this effort, and I had the audacity, the hide, the temerity, the gall to not mention any of it.
Do you do your own stats then?
I do. Dog with a bone. You're just using Gibbo as a front to continue to make your point. How many games did Cleary miss last year? How many games did Cleary miss the year
Who
before?
Cares?
You can't win the Dally
Who had
if
the most influence
games?
On winning the game? Who had the most influence on winning the competition?
A big that influence man. In this game for the Dolphins and Dragons, and he didn't have influence last week, but he did on the Dally M leaderboard. I hate to bring it back to it. But Hammer, he won't play a game like that ever again. Yep. How bad it was. So that's the one thing you got going with the Dolphins. They can bounce back. But my flair in this one, Sugar, I think we might see a few points. I think the weather's okay. Your boy, Sloan, already got three. I don't see any world where that doesn't continue. His support play, which is what we were begging of him for a long time last year, he was in the pocket of every single ball runner last week, beneficiary.
Yep.
That little play off big Raymond Fitala Marin, he was right there, little set piece like that, two or more. Is it Tyrrell?
Tyrrell.
I'll have to find out.
Mr. Sloan.
You've got me questioning myself. All right, $8 is nice odds, although look at you. You talk about overreactors. Now, mate, you got Tyrrell Sloan to have five tries in the first 2 weeks. I hope you're right. But
Ben Hunt in that team, and there's every chance that this kid could be an absolute weapon. Never know.
All right, let's go to Best Bets. Joel.
Okay, so I am concerned about the Broncos' left-hand side. Herbie Farmworth's left them. A little bit of getting to know each other. They're young players on the left-hand side. He scored there last week, Latrell Mitchell, on the right-hand side. And not only am I tipping Latrell Mitchell to score this week, I think he can score through the left-hand side of the Broncos. But anywhere close to $3, what is he, $2.95? Latrell Mitchell, just in big games.
Mm.
Latrell Mitchell, big games, we're talking about NRL finals, internationals, origins. He scores at about 60 to 70%.
Right.
He loves the big stage, Suncorp Stadium, big game. I love that price.
Wow, very confident. Now, this one comes with a little caveat for me. Wade Egan must be playing. I think with them losing last week, and as I said, I think it's osteitis pubis, and I am no doctor, sure, but sure he can give a little jab in that elbow of his. If he plays, I'm super keen on the Warriors at the start. We'll be backing them head-to-head as well. Huge value with no Nelson and no Munster. Big advantage in the forwards.
And the other thing we didn't speak about, the main body, is...
Isn't this the main body?
No. Is
he's taking the piss.
No, I'm kidding. Is that you got one team who's got up for Penrith.
Yep.
And then that's been their whole off-season to get up for Penrith. You've got the job done. So I'm with you.
Speaking of the main body, I thought it was very sad that Media Watch, a once feared show, basically just ripped off the main body to fulfill 6 minutes of television.
Did you see that? It's a nice photo of you.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. There's nothing to watch. 25 years ago, if people knew Media Watch was coming after them, like, people would be fearful. Now they just laugh. Anyway, best bet. I cannot believe, Sean, you've set the over-under so high for this game. Dolphins and Dragons, 46.5. It's going to rain.
It's big, isn't it?
And we've seen that KO Stadium, I don't think holds water particularly well. And I don't think the Dragons are a particularly dynamic attacking team. Although, yes, they ran riot at the end of last week. That's after they basically broke the spirit of the Titans. It's got low scoring game written all over it, doesn't it? Well, we'll soon find out. Right, let's offend some people, please. Watching the Test cricket on Monday, New Zealand were in a position where they should win. And at no point did I think New Zealand would win. And it made me ask the question, because they can never seem to beat Australia and they can never seem to win big games. And New Zealand, have they taken the mantle that maybe we once held as the biggest sporting chokers in the world? I'm not talking New Zealand cricket. I'm talking New Zealand sporting teams. Are they top seed chokers? Now, I acknowledge we have the undisputed king. We have Greg Norman, who will never, ever be beaten for choking, right? Major after major thrown away. Nothing will ever beat six shots at the Masters in 96, right? I put my hand up, that he's ours.
Yeah.
18 months after Norman, the Socceroos, still the greatest choke I've ever seen, 2-0 against Iran, and they blame that nuisance for cutting the nets. You lead Iran at the MCG 2-0, and you find a way to choke. And New Zealand, I also acknowledge, we choked so badly in a game 40 years ago, we resorted to underarming. So I'm not saying we're blameless. But to New Zealand, I ask, biggest chokers in world sport. Now, forget what this Aussie blowhard says. Have a look at these headlines. Asked for years by you people in New Zealand. And look, if you look at the history, rugby, first of all, I'm 45.
Yeah.
You're the same age as me, Joel. There's never been a generation where New Zealand, the great All Blacks, haven't been the best team in the world, right? There might be a year or two where Ireland's got top spot or South Africa has been a very good team at times. But over generations, always the All Blacks have been the top seed. But their list of failures is damning. 95 World Cup. They were food poisoned against South Africa. Okay, fair enough. I actually think they were food poisoned.
Yeah.
99 World Cup, overwhelming favourites, lost, didn't even make the final. 2003 World Cup, remember that was the tournament here? You had Johnny. George Gregan yelling 4 more years to New Zealand. They choked that one away in Sydney. The worst of them, 2007, Australia was nowhere near it that year. Unbackable favourites, lost. Didn't even make the final. Now, not every loss in every sport is a choke, right? Sometimes you're just not good enough or you have a bad day. But in this case, they were all choke jobs. Cricket, even 2011, by the way, when they won the World Cup, they almost lost that one at home. Then cricket, 2019. Now, this is cruel, but they had two chances to win this World Cup final. They had two chances, one in regulation, one in the Super Over. Now, technically, they didn't lose. It was a draw. But again, they just find ways to lose. 2015 World Cup final. Now, they were unbeaten. Now, sure, that was a hot Australian side that ended up running through them, but they melted. They melted in the final at the MCG. So I'm just wondering, there's netball losses. There's America's Cup wins, but there's also plenty of losses in amongst them. I love New Zealand. I love their people. I love the self-deprecation. I love their laid-back nature. I even love the New Zealand cricket broadcast, actually. I really enjoyed it because I thought, that's how we used to be. Now we're a bit stuck up. But I asked this question. Are New Zealand the biggest sporting chokers in the world?
Wow.
And I leave my Bambi there.
There's going to be a few one-star ratings, you would have thought, from our Kiwi friends after that little soliloquy.
No, no, we need to come clean here. He's just handed me a note, right, listener? He's handed me this note on the back of your soliloquy. He has changed his best bet to Warriors first half, Storm second half.
All right. Sorry, that one took a while there, but I thought that had to be crafted in a way that...
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this
but you've got a shorter, sharper one.
It won't be as elegant as what you just served up, and I'm going to give a little clip to our Kazali friends down there in Melbourne. They have a way of just really turning up the carry-on, don't they? Now, you might have seen last week, maybe 2 weeks ago now...
You're from Melbourne.
They, Dan, Angus Brayshaw of the Melbourne Demons, great young player. Unfortunately, this is terrible, had to retire due to numerous head knocks, but famous for wearing a helmet when he was playing. What did the Melbourne Demons players do? Well, they hung that helmet up in the race, and as they were walking out of the tunnel, they just gave it a nice little whack. Ooh. Now, the irony here is he had to retire due to concussion. Max Gawn has come up and just whacked it over the head. Now, it's a touching tribute. A little bit over the top, I would have thought. Maybe not go as hard. But what is it about like sport?
Now, AFL, not sport.
No, but sport in general, they have this obsession with touching inanimate objects on the way out to the field. Anfield, touch. Yeah, I'm sure you've done it at Leichhardt Oval.
We've done it.
Little
done
touch.
I do it when I come in here.
It's very strange behaviour.
Hey, anyway, what did Mason Cox get up to? He was carrying on.
Stay great behaviour.
Can I just say something about Mason Cox? I'm not really aware of Mason Cox. I know of him. Boxing Day test. Right, big event. All the radio and TV people are in the same area. Mason Cox, for no reason, just turns up on day one or day two and lurks around just to see if any radio stations want to use him on their broadcast.
Okay.
And I thought, I don't know you. It's a nice story, but a bit of tosser about that. Anyway, Triple Bambi.
I've got a little theory about Mason. So he's got a little fledgling podcast down there in Melbourne, which he hosts,
podcast, which we are.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't realise we'd become the Kelsey brothers.
Fledgling podcast. And he put out a statement after he was carrying on the weekend, and he said, I've got plenty to say, I'll reveal it all on my podcast during the week. Teaser. Fledgling podcast.
Fledgling.
Anyway, that was Get Them On Side for week number two. I think we covered some topics. I think we're going to find some winners. I don't know which ones, but I think we're going to find some winners. Joel, take us home.
Yes, have a great week, folks. Good luck to your teams in round two of the National Rugby League and the absolute best tip. We've given you plenty here today, but the best tip, of course, please set up your season, take a sec before you bet, and set up a deposit limit.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.